And joining us today on Perspectives is Dr. Enric Sala. Dr. Sala has dedicated his career to restoring the health and productivity of the ocean to help protect the last pristine marine ecosystems and develop new business models for marine conservation. Dr. Sala founded Pristine Seas. This year's long project combines exploration, research, and media to inspire world leaders to preserve the last wild places in the ocean. Now, working together with conservation organizations such as National Geographic, National Geographic Pristine Seas Project has inspired the creation of six of the largest marine reserves on the planet in Chile, Gabon, Costa Rica, Kiribati, the Pitcairn Islands, and the U.S. Pacific waters. Dr. Sala is a fellow of the Royal Geographical Society and the recipient of many accolades, including the 2013 Lowell Thomas Award of the Explorers Club and the 2014 Heroes Award from the Environment Media Association. In 2008, he was named a Young Global Leader by the World Economic Forum. He was born in Spain, and he now lives in Washington, D.C. So, Enric, there's a lot going on there, and you've been a busy man, and this could be a book in its own.
Hello, Louis. Yes, you know, it's been an evolution. I started as a little kid growing up on the coast of Spain watching the documentaries of Jacques Cousteau on TV, and I wanted to be an ocean explorer. And I was born a little too late for that, but I studied marine biology and became a professor and moved to California, where I worked at the University of California in San Diego. And I was studying the impacts of humans in the ocean, the impacts of fishing, pollution, climate change. And one day I realized that all I was doing was writing the obituary of ocean life. I was describing how ocean life was dying with excruciating detail, but not offering a cure. So I decided to quit my job as an academic and dedicate my life to help to restore the health of the ocean. And this is how the Pristine Seas Project, which is featured in the book, was born. I decided to go out and find the last healthy, untouched places in the ocean and try to inspire leaders to protect them before it's too late.
We're visiting with Enric Sala. Enric is the author of the book Pristine Seas, Journeys to the Ocean's Last Wild Places. It's put out by National Geographic, and this also has a foreword by Leonardo DiCaprio. And this book is, as all books, National Geographic, incredible. But it has some incredible, great pictures. And as you mentioned, Enric, you wanted to dedicate it to yourself to save the oceans. And I think our listeners might have been kind of surprised when you said that you were writing the obituary for our oceans.
Yeah, that's what I was supposed to do as an academic, as a scientist. You were supposed to do research and publish in scientific journals that only experts read and just move along your career in academia. But I felt like a doctor who's telling the patient how she's going to die with excruciating detail, but not offering a cure. And I found that was so frustrating. It was depressing to see that the places I loved so much were less and less alive every year because of too much fishing and pollution. And I just decided that I have one life, and I don't want to just do what other people expect me to do. I want to follow my heart, and my heart was telling me, you need to help to restore the health of the ocean that you love so much, and this is what I'm doing.
And one of your quote on the website of National Geographic says, no one organization alone is going to save the ocean. And I think that's important because sometimes a lot of people say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go after it. And what they end up doing is burning up or getting depressed because they're not getting any help. But you're doing the opposite. You're saying, no, nobody can do it by himself. So I'm getting help here. And you have different organizations. And as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, you have laboratories, organizations in different parts of the world.
Sally, not everyone can do everything, but everybody can do something. And this is what I decided to do. You know, there are so many problems affecting the ocean and the environment. And if I wanted to tackle all of them, it would be impossible. I would have no impact and I would be frustrated. I would feel powerless. So I decided to focus on one solution that works where I can make a difference. And that solution that works is the creation of marine reserves, national parks in the sea, to protect special places. And there are many other problems that are very important, but there are other great people out there working on them. And I just focus on the one where I know I can make a difference.
We're visiting with Enric Sala. Enric is a marine ecologist, and he is the author of the book Pristine Seas, and he's also the founder of Pristine Seas and Pristine Organizations. Tell us what you mean for the benefit of our listening audience. When I introduced you at the beginning, I mentioned the different locations that you have in Chile, Gabon, Costa Rica, Kiribati. So tell us about the Pristine Seas Project a little bit more.
The Pristine Seas, yeah. The goal of the project is to document and help to protect these places, to inspire leaders to protect these places in large national parks for us and for future generations. I'm living my dream. This is really an exciting project, fulfilling, but also so much fun. Because we conduct expeditions to the most remote places in the ocean, scientific research, economic analysis, and then we produce media to inspire people and the leaders to love and protect these places. And then probably the most exciting part is the expeditions. You go to these remote places, let's say a coral reef in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. You jump in the water, and immediately you are surrounded by 10, 12, 15 sharks and large fish that come to check you out, fish that probably have never seen humans before. And it's, wow, this is like being dropped in the middle of the African plains and be surrounded by lions and cheetah. It's so exciting and so wonderful, so fulfilling to know that we can help to make sure that these places remain like this forever.
We're visiting with Enrique Sala, marine ecologist, and he is the author of the book Pristine Seas, put out by National Geographic. When you were talking earlier about when you were a child growing up in Spain, that you looked up to Jacques Cousteau and watched some of those television shows, and you know, anyone who was growing up at that time can identify with that. But I guess a lot of people don't realize that, or perhaps they do, but it's not mentioned as much. When you're talking about outer space and exploring outer space, exploring the oceans can be just as dangerous and fascinating.
Well, I would like to think, because I do that a lot, that exploring the ocean is less dangerous than space exploration. But yeah, no, there are lots of similarities, because every time we send a probe out there, you know, to study Pluto or Saturn or Jupiter, whatever, we discover all these amazing things. The same thing happens to us. Every time we go to one of these places that nobody has studied before in the ocean, we discover new species. We discover new geological formations. We discover new ecological processes that nobody knew about. And it's like a detective journey. It's like a little kid going out in nature and just observing and absorbing and discovering things. And it's so fulfilling. We scientists are like little kids who have this sense of insatiable sense of curiosity, and that's what helps us study these places and make sure that we share this enthusiasm through this book and TV shows and other media, so we can share these experiences and how wonderful our ocean is with the rest of the world.
Enrique, if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, because as I mentioned earlier, space travel and our astronauts, they train here, of course, and they can't experience what they're actually going to experience when they go out there. And the same thing that you mentioned about Jacques Cousteau and what you saw on television, the first time that you went deep sea diving and you encountered one of these sea monsters, as somebody want to call them, what were your reactions? What were your feelings? I would imagine you were scared but anxious at the same time and ready to do it.
It was so wonderful. I felt, as you said before, I felt like I was in outer space, and all of a sudden an alien just showed up. You know, I was in the submarine deep. It was dark all around us. It was just pitch black, and then these weird jellyfish with long golden tentacles came into view and said, wow, this would be like going outside the solar system and finally finding an alien. And we see this every time we go to a new place, every time we do deep dives with the submarine, every time we scuba dive in a place that nobody has studied before, every time we see surprises, new species, things that we had never seen before. But probably the most surprising thing for us the first time we dove in a pristine coral reef was that the abundance of sharks and other large predators was far greater than what anybody could have imagined.
How come, Enrique?
You know, because we don't kill the fish. That's it. It's as simple as that, you know. When we have taken fish of the ocean faster than they can reproduce. And for some species of large predators like sharks and tuna, some of these species are threatened with extinction. We've been fishing for centuries, especially since the end of Second World War with large-scale industrial fishing. We are depleting our oceans.
We're visiting with Dr. Enrique Sala. Enrique is a marine ecologist. He is also the author of the National Geographic book, Pristine Seas. And we're discussing his experience, what he did as a child and how he got to be here, and also his experiences as he goes underwater. Going back to when we were kids, a lot of us read Jules Verne science fiction, Earth to the Moon and Thousand Leagues Under the Sea. So when you were going down there for the first time, did you kind of imagine what you might see, and then you were surprised by what you did see, as you mentioned earlier, that you saw an alien?
Not only the first time, but every time. Every time we go to a place, we have an idea of what's going to be like, kind of, right? You go to a new coral reef and you expect to see lots of large fish and lots of healthy corals, but every place is different. It's like going to a big city. You know that you're going to see great art and architecture in food, but every place is different. And with the difference with cities, we don't have travel guides that tell us what we're going to find underwater. It's a continuous voyage of discovery and exploration. It's like a long life detective journey.
We're visiting with Enric Sala. Enric is the author of the National Geographic book, Pristine Seas. And this is a fabulous book. And as you might expect, with the National Geographic book, it has some incredible photographs and also some great narration that goes with the book. As I'm looking here at the first page, if you wouldn't mind kind of going with us through this book, at the very beginning, you show us the food web, as far as the pristine reef.
Yes, this is one of our most surprising discoveries. So we thought that nature was, the food chain was like a pyramid, where you have a broad base and a narrow apex. And, you know, if you go to Africa, you expect to see thousands and thousands of wildebeest and zebras and gazelles, the animals at the bottom of the food chain that eat the grass, and then just a few hundred lions, right? And we expected from research before that this is what we would find on coral reefs, lots of small fish. So if you get all the fish of the reef together and weigh them, most of that biomass would be accounted for by the small fish that eat algae or at the bottom of the food chain. And then the biomass of sharks on top of the food chain would be small. Now, we went to pristine coral reefs and we discovered that this pyramid is upside down. It's inverted. On a pristine reef that has never been fished, the biomass of the top predators like sharks is larger than the biomass of the prey. So that would be like going to Africa and finding more lions than wildebeest.
We're visiting with Dr. Enric Sala. He is the author of the National Geographic book, Pristine Seas, and a wonderful book, coffee table-sized book, and it has some great pictures and some great information as well. And you just discussed the food chain, and one of the other places here that caught my eye is the top predators in the pristine seas. And you just described it a little bit as far as what you see and what you expect. Is there some kind of a protection that's going on in the pristine areas so that keep people from fishing and killing the fish, etc.?
Yes, most of these pristine areas are still unprotected, but there are great signs of progress. We've been involved with the creation of 6 of the largest marine reserves in the ocean protecting these places. The U.S. is clearly the leader in that. President George W. Bush created 3 large national monuments in the Pacific. President Obama last year extended one of these monuments in what's now the largest marine reserve in the world. The U.K. government, Chile, and others are also creating large reserves. Yet, only 1% of the ocean is protected. Only 1% compared to 12% on land. So that is, we have a long way to go. There is much more to be done. But fortunately, the U.S. and other countries are leading the way, and there is a lot of momentum, and we are working with other governments around the world, with our partners, to make sure that more of this wonderful, healthy ocean is protected for us and for future generations.
Enric, would you mind sharing with us information about the Line Islands? What are the Line Islands?
The Line Islands are 10 islands. It's an archipelago that crosses the equator, you know, the equator line. That's why they are called like this. Some of them belong to the U.S., and all of them are protected in the National Monument of the Pacific Remote Islands. And some of them belong to the Republic of Kiribati, which is this island nation in the middle of the Pacific. And the Southern Line Islands, 5 islands that are below the equator, between the equator line and Tahiti, are also now protected. And these are probably, the Southern Line Islands are the most pristine coral reef archipelago on the planet. This is the place where you dive and see the most sharks and the most corals. So just to give you a comparison, and on the Line Islands, on these pristine Line Islands, between 80 and 90% of the bottom is covered by live coral. If you go to the Caribbean today, between 5 and 10% of the bottom is live coral, only 5 to 10%. So that shows you how degraded the Caribbean is and how pristine these places are.
We're visiting with Dr. Enric Sala. Dr. Sala is the author of the book Pristine Seas. It's put out by National Geographic. It has a lot of information about the project that Dr. Sala has embarked on in the pristine sea. And one of the other things that I was looking up here is the subtropical reefs. Would you mind explaining that to us?
Yeah, subtropical means areas that are neither tropical nor temperate. So these are areas that are south or north of the tropics. And they have a mix of species from coral reefs and a mix of species from more temperate areas like seals and sea lions. So they are a wonderful mix in between, but they are their own unique environment that makes it more interesting for us, because if we dived only on coral reefs, you know, it would be wonderful, but it's more of the same. So we try to explore areas not only in the tropics, but also the subtropics, temperate seas, and also the Arctic, so we can help to protect a representative sample of the ocean ecosystems around the world.
We're visiting with Dr. Enric Sala. Dr. Sala is the author of the National Geographic book, Pristine Seas. This is a great book that you put out together, but one of the things that I like also, and I guess National Geographic does this a lot, is that if people go to your website, especially educators, students, young people, children can just get a fabulous education or a lesson by going to these websites. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're trying to tell and show our young people and students?
Yes, well, we want to share what we are discovering, because we are very fortunate to be some of the few who can go to these wonderful places, which very few people have seen. So we want to share what we see with the rest of the world. And we always share blogs and photographs and videos from our expeditions while we are there. But also after the fact, we also want to share our discoveries and the news of protection of these places. And the main educational goal of the main goal of the project is to inspire leaders to protect these places. That's number one, overall goal. But then also we want to show people what's really natural in the ocean, because our perception of what's natural has changed over time because of environmental degradation. So we all have heard the stories of, your grandparents or grandparents, the fish used to be much more abundant and large, and we are losing much of our natural world. For a kid today, what's natural is very different from what's natural for you or from your parents. So we want to reset the baseline. We want to get people into this time machine, taking people hundreds of years into the past, if not thousands of years, and show them this is the ocean before we started messing up with it. This helps us understand all we have lost, but also it provides a very clear picture to compare with what we have now, so we can decide what future ocean we want. We want an ocean where species are being depleted because of too much fishing and too much pollution, or do we want an ocean with clear water, full of fish and other marine life that can continue providing for us?
We are visiting with Dr. Enric Sala. Dr. Sala is the author of the National Geographic book, Pristine Seas. And in your book, you just mentioned a little bit about looking at the future and what we want. But through these ecosystems, the pristine ecosystems that you are exploring and taking pictures, I guess they would provide a window perhaps into the past and also show you what oceans looked like before the overfishing and pollution took their toll. Just like other discoverers, explorers, conquistadores, when they found something, they can look into the past.
Yes, the only way to understand the present is to look at the past. And the only way to understand why the ocean is as it is today is to understand what we have done to it over time. And until very recently, we didn't have a benchmark. We didn't have a baseline, because thousands of years ago, there were no marine biologists. There were no people diving and filming out there. So we don't know how abundant whales or sharks or seals were in California or the Galapagos Islands or the Arctic, you know, 1,000 years ago. So these pristine places, these remote places, are the best proxies we have for the ocean of abundance before we started taking fish out of the ocean faster than they can reproduce. So they have an enormous value, not only on themselves, you know, as wildernesses like Yellowstone or the Serengeti that need to be preserved because they are so rich and important for the world, but also they are a great instruction manual for us. They can tell us how the ocean works when it's full. You know, and I like to use an analogy. People sometimes ask me, well, why do we need pristine places? Why do we need all these species there? Well, some people think that not all species are necessary, that we can live without some species, no big deal. And I like to use this analogy. You know, imagine that you are about to board the plane. The flight attendant tells you, good morning, we're welcome to our flight. You should know that 10 screws are missing in this plane. We don't know what their function is, but 10 screws are missing. Would you board that plane?
No, that's a great analogy.
I don't think so either. You know? So there are species out there whose function we don't understand because our scientific understanding is limited. But that doesn't mean that these species have an irrelevant role. You know, they could be very, very important. So my philosophy is, let's be on the safe side. Let's apply the precautionary principle and let's make sure that no species goes extinct and that all the species out there are sufficiently abundant so they can continue performing their ecological roles.
We're visiting with Dr. Enrique Sala. Dr. Sala is the author of the National Geographic book, Pristine Seas. And Dr. Sala, we've been talking about sharks and fish and jellyfish and coral reef. And a lot of people, when they hear those words, they think of warm waters somewhere out in the perhaps Atlantic or Pacific Ocean. But in your book, you also address the Franz Josef Land. And this is the northernmost place and very different as far as the life out there and what you see. Share with us a little bit about that.
Yes, Franz Josef Land is a group of islands north of Russia. It's the northernmost archipelago on the planet. And we were very fortunate to be able to partner with our Russian colleagues and do an expedition there in 2013. And that was extraordinary because we were used to dive in tropical places and temperate places. And that was our first Arctic adventure. And the environment is so different. It was so cold and the animals were... We saw polar bears and walruses, and we dived in kelp forest. The water was freezing, really freezing, we dove near icebergs. And we found an environment that was what the Earth must have looked like right at the end of the Ice Age. It was absolutely extraordinary. The wildlife was spectacular. It's a place that has been safe from human impacts for a long time. However, clear signs of the impacts of warming on our planet. The Arctic has warmed twice as fast as the rest of the planet. And these areas where we were in the Russian Arctic used to be covered with ice throughout the year. And when we were there, the sea ice was absolutely gone. All the sea ice had melted. We were able to sail all over the place, no problem. And there are many species that depend on the ice, like the fish that eat the little shrimp, that eat the little algae that grow under the ice. And then the seals eat the fish, and the polar bears eat the seals. Now, with the sea ice gone, all this food chain is gone. And then you have polar bears that are stuck on those islands with no seals because they are gone with the ice, and they have to eat grass and seabirds. Now, they need all that fat from the seals to survive the winter, but they cannot get it. So the loss of sea ice is really affecting the animals there. And this was a big surprise. So we decided to work harder on the Arctic. We just conducted the next two expeditions to Canada and Greenland, and we were able to experience some of the most wonderful environments in the world with whales and polar bears and seals. And it's an extraordinary environment, but it's also sad because we know that it's changing very, very fast.
Well, Dr. Sala, we want to thank you so much for sharing your time with us. We've been visiting with Dr. Enrique Sala. He is the author of the National Geographic book, Pristine Seas. If you want to find out more about Dr. Sala, you can go to the National Geographic website and type in his name, Enrique Sala. And there are some great interactive things there for students, for teachers, and some great pictures. Dr. Sala, again, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Lee.
Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Evan Walsh. Our producer is Dennis Wu. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sines.